Our first reading this morning comes from Matthew 26, verses 26 through 30. That is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 26 through 30. You can find that on page 30 in the New Testament, in the Pew Bible, or on the screen in front of you. Jesus breaks bread and serves wine to his disciples as a sign of the covenant that God has established with us. Let us read. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Here ends the first scripture reading for today.
Well, happy 4th of July weekend to all of you. I hope you're able to spend some time with your family and friends. And I also hope you had a little bit of time to spend reflecting upon what a privilege it is and an honor to be able to live in this country in which we live, and to be able to reap the benefits of what it means to live in a country that celebrates almost 240 years of independence. And in many ways, we are all survivors of that. Yesterday, I went fishing with John Fulton, and not many of the lures survived. I think we'll have to take a second offering for all the lures that I lost. But John was a good sport about it, and we did catch a couple fish, so that was fun. I remember the first time, though, that I came to the United States. I was 8 years old. My parents were missionaries, and we were coming back from Italy, and it was 1976. It was a pretty big year in our country, and there were so many festivities and parties, and there were so many opportunities to celebrate this country. We moved to Ventnor, New Jersey when I was 8, and all that excitement about our bicentennial year, it made me think, wow, this is a pretty impressive country. And then when we moved to Ventnor, it was right after, the weekend after, a hurricane had come through. And so all of our neighbors were out sweeping their sidewalks. The sand had blown up from the shore. And I thought, this is a country of survivors. This is a country of people who don't give up. And that's part of what we're going to be seeing in the scripture today as well. Who do you think of, though, when you think of a survivor? Who's a person in your mind that first pops to your mind when you think of a survivor? I'm going to tell you about my dad. My dad, he was a survivor. I remember the year when we bought him a cake with candles on it, and Naomi and Rachel came along and helped to blow out the candles, because my father, for the last 13 years of his life, had Alzheimer's, and different people struggle with Alzheimer's in different ways. There are some who are very silent, don't say anything, or are hardly responsive at all. That was my dad the last 10 years. There are others who are so pleased and happy to meet someone new. Well, anyone they meet, I guess, is new. But you know, over time and time again, they see him. And whenever my kids went to visit my dad, they would always find themselves in someone else's lap, because it was a home for retired missionaries and pastors. And they would always be telling them stories about what it was like to be a missionary. So when we headed out to Russia, it was a little easier for them to imagine what that could be like. But that one day when we brought him a cake with the candles on it, my dad hadn't spoken probably in about 2 years. that day that we brought him that cake and candles. He blew out it was his birthday. He blew out his candles, and we took him outside by the pond, and he looked and had a moment of clarity, and he said, "Isn't this fun?" That made my week, my day, my year. But he was someone who was a survivor. And he allowed me at that moment, and even as I reflect on it, an opportunity to know that we have to live every single moment of our lives as a grace-filled moment. When you survive something, when you go through something, you appreciate even more, you should, your present, and certainly your future, understanding that it's a gift that's given directly from God Himself. So today we are going to learn how to be survivors. I know most of you are sitting there, "Bob, I'm already a survivor." You are. But let's put it within the context of Scripture. Let's put it within the context of what it means to live our lives every single day with that mentality of we are going to survive. And even more than that, we're going to make it to exactly where God wants us to be. So we're looking at Noah again. We saw 2 weeks ago that Noah obeyed God. And so as a result, he was considered righteous. Last week, do you remember, right? Last week we saw that we are always remembered by God. Noah was remembered by God, so he was saved. And as a result, through him, all of humanity was saved as well. And so this week we're going to see what it means to be survivors through the person of Noah. Chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. We're going through a chapter, a clip almost. Next week I guess we're still in chapter 9. Oh well. Okay, chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. And we read, "Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, 'As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth.' And God said, 'This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is for you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth.' God said to Noah, 'This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there was one aspect of life in Russia that I never got used to, and I was exposed to it time and time again, and that was that contracts. Oh, for those of you who don't know, I lived in Russia for 5 years. If you're new here, you're probably wondering, why is he talking about Russia? Contracts were never honored. Literally, were never honored. There were numerous times when we had a homeless ministry and we would sign a contract to put people in an apartment, and we would keep that apartment. We would want to keep that apartment for a long range for years, and we would sign a year-long contract, and more often than not, we would show up to take the apartment, and there was another family there who had moved in, and the landowner said, "Well, at the last minute, they gave me more money, so I allowed them to move in." The same thing would happen in business. If a better deal came along, then sure enough, that better deal would win out, even if a contract had been signed. Because the mentality was, well, if there's something better, then the contract doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't really hold much weight at all. And that was something that we learned in our time there, that you cannot rely, as Carol said, you can't rely upon promises. You can't rely upon contracts, whether it was a handshake or whether it was something signed. Our scripture today is all about covenants. It's all about promises. It's all about agreements that are made between us and God. And thank God, literally, God does keep his promises. The realities that we find in the world around us of people not keeping covenants is so different from the reality that we find within our scripture today. Can you imagine God just getting bored and saying, you know what, maybe I won't follow through on the covenant this time? That's what we do with each other at times. Aren't we thankful that God never, ever does that? So we're going to look at this covenant between God and Noah. If we can open up our scripture passage, the chapter 9. And just so we're on the same page, a covenant is that agreement. It's an agreement between two or more people. And you normally, there's some kind of a sign with a covenant. When we make a covenant, what do? We sign a piece of paper. There are other signs. God's covenant that he made with Noah, the sign was a rainbow, right? The more common covenant that we're familiar with is marriage. What's a sign of a marriage covenant? If not the ring, right? And so that's what we find in Scripture, is that when there's an agreement made, then there's a sign for that kind of a covenant that is made as well. So today we see that God makes that covenant with Noah, and he gives that sign to remind us that every time we see the rainbow, we remember the agreement that we have with God. I call this covenant that God makes with Noah the Nomas, the Robert Duran. Roberto Duran, some of you have no idea who that is. So the no more covenant, where God says, no more is this going to happen. This will never happen again, I promise you. And it's a covenant that we know we can rely upon. It's God's promise that never again would he destroy humanity. And every time we see that rainbow, we need to remember God loves us so much. He loves us so much. So now we find ourselves in chapter 9 with Noah and his family and all of the saved animals still in the ark. The rains have come and they have gone. And Noah and his family, in this part of Scripture, they come out of the ark. Can you imagine that scene? Put yourself on the earth when Noah and all the animals and his family, after nearly a year cooped up in the ark, come out. Some of you have been on long car rides. Some of you have been on long plane trips. You know that feeling of just being closed in and can't wait to get out. We'll take that to the nth degree, and you'll see that that's exactly what Noah and his family were feeling. You can see the door opening up, and just if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you won't know what hits you as every single imaginable animal comes out, and there is Noah and his family as well coming out. Now, if you've been reading Genesis ahead of me, if you've been reading along with me, and I hope you do that. I hope to kind of like good students, before Sunday morning, you should read like a chapter ahead of me. Then you'll know more than I do. But at least you'll be better prepared for what's coming up. But if you had read this ahead of time, what's the first thing? Go ahead and look at the scripture. What's the first thing Noah does when he steps off the ark? You know, some of you, the first thing you do when you land, when you've been in a foreign country, is you go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac. You know, I know you. What's Noah do? What's the first thing he does when he steps off the ark? Builds an altar and praises God. It's the first thing he does. There's so many things he should be doing. So many things that need to get done. But no, that's the first thing that's on his mind. That's what survivors do. They recognize how to be thankful. And they recognize all for which they need to be thankful. Noah was in that place. He was in that place where he knew that every single moment of his life going forward was going to be a grace-filled moment. And it needed to be because he recognized all that he had been through. He recognized those years when his neighbors and his family were making fun of him. What are you doing? Building an ark. He recognized nearly that year long on the ark with all the animals and also knew that this was what he had to do as soon as he got off the ark. I think Noah appreciated what it meant to be a survivor. And I think when those doors opened, his life changed as well. His life changed to that of living as a survivor. Now most of us, okay, let me rephrase that. None of us have been through what Noah has been through. But each one of us, when we think about it, we are survivors. Each one of us has been through life experiences that we've survived. We've each been through life experiences that we're able on this side of it to look back and say, this is something that I'm able to take going forward. And something that I know I can appreciate even more because I have been through that experience. It wasn't easy. It was painful. I wish I didn't have to go through it. But I went through it, and now I'm on the other side of it. And I have learned from it. I pray that we have been able to gain some instincts and appreciation of what God has been able to do for us. We haven't maybe sacrificed our life and our family as Noah did, or as those who fought in the Revolutionary War did, or those who have fought in our wars here in this country have. I pray, have known that God has chosen each one of us individually with a purpose. We are God's survivors in so many different ways. And how different our life can be as we go through seeing ourselves in that light. As soon as Noah gets off the boat, he gives thanks to God, and that needs to be the cornerstone of our lives as survivors, is giving thanks to God for all that he has done for us. And in turn, what God does is he blesses Noah. He says, Noah, as for me, my part of the bargain is, I will establish my covenant with you and with all of humanity, and I will never destroy you again. So that rainbow serves as that sign not only that God will never destroy, but it also serves as a sign that we are survivors. So I want you to think of a couple different things. Think of the promises that God has given us when you see that rainbow, but also think of the fact that we are survivors and how that ought to shape our lives going forward. This Sunday, we celebrate communion together. And we read the Matthew scripture purposefully because it also reflects another covenant that God made with us. And this covenant also has a sign. It also has a symbol related to it. The rainbow is a sign that the covenant that God made with Noah. The ring is a sign that we make to each other in marriage. The sign that we have for this table is the sign of the bread and the cup. It's not a covenant made between God and the Presbyterian Church. It's not a covenant made between God and the Methodist Church or the Lutheran Church. It is a covenant made just like the rainbow. It's a covenant made between God and all of humanity. That when Jesus came upon this earth, he was the ultimate survivor. Think about it. It's a moment that can be shared by all survivors who are disciples of Jesus Christ. It's a covenant that our Lord Jesus left so that we could live every moment of our lives as grace-filled moments, having gone through the worst of it. And just like Noah's covenant, it's proof of God's amazing love for all of humanity and creation, not just one small family, not just one small group. And in this covenant that we have before us today, God tells us, never again will I have to do this, because once and for all, Jesus died for our sins, and that's sufficient. That's all it took. Nobody else has to do anything to ratify that agreement, because it has already been ratified in heaven. And by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth, God makes a promise to each one of us. And He told us that we have access to eternal life through Him. That's the sign of the covenant. That's the promise that God gives to each one of us. And as we take part in this bread and this juice, remind ourselves that eternal life has been promised to each one of us, and how living our lives as survivors ought to change everything. Let us recognize that we're survivors, and that we rely upon Christ for all things, and that every moment of our lives need to be grace-filled moments. Amen. Loving God, we do come before You now, and we give You thanks and praise and honor, because we know that You have given us an opportunity to be survivors. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, You have given all that we need to be able to enjoy Your kingdom. And so now we ask You that as we take part in these elements of bread and juice, that You would give us, again, a mentality, an approach to life that loves every single moment, that takes advantage of every moment as being grace-filled. Only You, Lord Jesus, can give us that. We pray this now in Your name. Amen.